Well, so tonight really is going to be an opportunity for us to reflect and to be present to each other as we might share something about our practice lives. So my talk tonight is kind of a way to offer a some possible themes, and then I'll explain it all more later when we get to that point. But I want to start by saying, and this is, I want to say to both of you, don't try to understand everything. Don't work hard at it. Just let whatever touches you, whatever triggers some of your own thoughts or questions, let all that just emerge and be aware of it. And, because I'm going to begin by talking about the full moon ceremony, which is a ceremony we honor about every 2 months or so. But what's important to me is that part of the ceremony, as many of you know, is that we take the refuges. We chant, "I take refuge in Buddha," immersing body and mind deeply in the way, awakening true mind. "I take refuge in the Dharma," entering deeply the merciful ocean of Buddha's way. "And I take refuge in Sangha," bringing harmony to everyone, free from hindrance. I just love the refuges. I feel like it's almost like a golden nugget expression of what Zazen is all about. Taking refuge means letting go. Letting go, letting go, letting go into the treasury of the light with the faith that this will awaken the Buddha activity. I feel like this is an incredible promise in a way. It's telling us that if we can practice this way, taking refuge, that we will awaken the Buddha activity in the midst of our lives, you know, that we will enter the merciful ocean of Buddha's way. It's an incredible promise. At the same time, it's an incredible challenge. Let go, let go, let go, let go of everything so that the Buddha mind can come forth. I mean, that's like huge and not easy and very hard and maybe scary. And yet, there's a promise here. So I know there's a lot of ways we can talk about how letting go and what that means and how hard that is, but I guess what I want to offer that in a certain way, there's something simple about it. There's something that's at the root of everything, and it has to do with letting go of all the ways in which we keep making little selves. Our little selves keep making little selves. And if we can let go of them by sitting Zazen, the Buddha begins to penetrate our lives, and the life that can emerge is something worth taking the risk, you know, working with letting go. And really, I've learned that the Buddha mind, or the bigger mind, is always sitting with me. It's always sitting with you. And so even when I can't let go, even when I don't even know that I'm holding on, even when I don't want to let go, even when all of that is still going on, the Buddha is actually still coming in and penetrating and offering. And so it's like always going on. So there's no place the Buddha doesn't reach. So this has implications for our everyday life. There are many ways to say this. Like somebody said, the real self is like vanishing dew. The real self is like vanishing dew. Like a bead of water quenching the thirst of a bird and gone. The dragon howls in the withered tree. The dragon howls in the withered tree. Or we are so used to seeing only one part of the elephant that we may miss when the true dragon appears. We may miss it in a moment. The real self is like vanishing dew. So, in some ways, it's not us that let go. It's not our little selves that let go, or any self that we think is a self that lets go. It's our Buddha nature itself that lets go. So, it's nothing that we do, actually, even. And a couple of weeks ago, I had a situation where I got really angry at somebody. Felt really angry and I felt hurt. And so I was spending like a lot of time like having all these different conversations in my head, like how am I going to tell them that I feel angry and hurt, and practicing these conversations. And I didn't do anything. I just let this all start happening. And I went to bed and I woke up the next morning, and all of a sudden this voice like came through me. You don't need to say anything. It's already passed. Why go back? Now, of course, there are times when we really should talk to somebody, and that's really important. But what surprised me was, in that moment, I said, that's the self of yesterday. That's not the self of today. And I suddenly felt all this freedom and letting go. And then I also realized I just dodged a bullet, because, you know, I could have really caused the other person to suffer if I didn't find a good way to talk to them. So this potential, I guess, of practicing letting go of selves, allowing that to happen to us, is our practice, is our path. And there's other ways that the scriptures talk about this. So some of you know of Vimalakirti, who's a master teacher from long ago, and he has a sutra. And in chapter 7 about the goddess, Manjushri says to Vimalakirti, how should a bodhisattva regard all living beings? How should a bodhisattva regard all living beings? And these are just a few things Vimalakirti said. Regard all living beings as a wise man regarding the reflection of the moon in the water. I'm sorry, I didn't really say that right. As a wise man regards the reflection of the moon in the water, that's how you regard another human being. Or like the previous moment of a ball of foam. Like the previous moment of a ball of foam. Like the perception of color in one who was blind at birth. Like the perception of color in one blind at birth. Like the track of a bird in the sky. Like the track of a bird in the sky. Like the pregnancy of a barren woman. Like the passion of one who is free of conceptualizations. Like a flash of lightning, a spark. I don't know what happens inside you yet when you're listening to this, but each phrase, I feel, is pointing to possibilities that seem impossible. Like seeing color when you've been blind from birth. And all of this happens in a moment. And also, all of these seem to activate a seemingly impossible, unstoppable capacity for living and birthing. like the pregnancy of a barren woman. So our challenge is that we need to pay attention with an open awareness, not with an awareness where we're zeroing in on some particular aspect of our lives or our thoughts, but actually to open wide and notice, oh, the sounds outside, you know, the person's breathing next to us when we're sitting zazen, you know, the quiet, you know, imagining being in Gaza, all of a sudden that comes to you, a memory. It's like everything is actually all here, occurring, interpenetration of all things. So this kind of wide of awareness allows us to let go of our perceptions, let go of our stories, and to consider, you know, taking refuge, awakening the Buddha mind, and receiving the gifts that come. But maybe there's more that might help, and I've been thinking a lot about the way we all talk about being in the now, that it's all we have is now. But I'm aware for myself personally that these are such incredibly uncertain times with war and poverty and hurricanes and killing thousands of children and climate crises and so much mistreatment of people based on race or gender, that it's almost like I'm myopically focused on now. I get afraid and I get anxious and I start having worst case scenarios going in my mind. You know, I might want to watch the news several times a day. And now, 21 more days before the election, it's this sense of being afraid, but also time pressing in. You know, there's not a lot of time. So I'm beginning to think, okay, fear and time suppress our true nature. There's kind of a fickleness of usual time. Oh my God, it's only 2 weeks left. So I want to just invite us to step back from the clock ticking and wonder. About a month ago, well, I guess it was a month ago by now, I was having coffee with a friend who's a political activist, and I had just been on the news, and I'd heard about, I don't know, four different horrific things that had happened. The woman in Georgia who needed a medical abortion, and the doctors had to sit there for 20 hours and do nothing because of the law, and she died. You know, I mean, the horrific, you know, mistruths that were passed on about the Haitian people in Springfield, Ohio. These were two of them, and I was just talking about all of this, and I wasn't aware until she started talking. You know, my voice was high, I was agitated, I was upset. And then once I saw all that, I realized, oh my God, you know, if I can't find a place of calm to rest and discern, nothing I will do will have wisdom in it. And in that moment, a sense of time went away. Time wasn't there anymore. It was just this sense of coming back to, you know, awakening Buddha mind inside. So I don't know if all of you know who Jan Chosen Bays is. She is a Zen, Rinzai Zen priest, actually, she's the founding abbess of Great Vow Monastery in Oregon. She's a physician. She's written a book on mindful medicine and also on Jiso Bodhisattva. But she said something that really took me, stunned me. She said, consider the perspective that history is a pulse of sacred impulses that spread. Consider the perspective that history is a pulse of sacred impulses that spread, like dropping a pebble in the water. creating circles of energy moving out and beyond, but out and beyond now into the future. Like the pregnancy of the barren woman, new life in the future. So even now, the history we are making will contain sacred impulses for the sake of the future, even millennia forward. No matter what happens now, even the end of democracy as we know it, our practice life has its own sacred power. I vow to refrain from all evil. I vow to live in enlightenment. I vow to live for the benefit of all beings. These vows are empowering. The Buddha activity is already working to awaken us, no matter what the state of the world. It's unstoppable, we could say. We're transmitters of the Dharma, and it's the transmission of the Dharma that carries this impulse forward into the future. I mean, I offer Jiso ceremonies. It's only because that ceremony has been transmitted since 600 BC from person to person to person. It's alive because of transmission. So Suzuki, our teacher that came to San Francisco from Japan, he was a temple priest when the United States bombed Hiroshima in 1945. He came to the United States in 1959 during the Vietnam War. And I read an article by Lewis Richmond, and he said, though Suzuki never talked about what he experienced during the war, we all knew that it had been a traumatic and searing time for him. He once told us, "You Americans have seen the worst of my country. I came here to show you the best, the sacred impulse created this movement of bringing Buddhism here to the United States, and the foundation began from deep suffering." So I guess I'm just wanting to offer that we practice here so that we can offer the best of what it means to be human. Each act of kindness, love, goodness ripples up into the cosmos and becomes rain, and the Dharma ripples down for the next generation. When we turn towards our conditioning to let go of each small self that's arriving and live as an instrument of the Dharma, we become pulsations, sparks of the Dharma, creating spiritual history unfolding into the future now. Go, transmit moment to moment. Go to where you are called to go. Thank you. So, I mean, I'm open to a few comments or questions, but this was sort of a way to plant some seeds for our practice circle. Does anyone want to say anything? Oscar.
I'm not sure exactly how it fits in, but I feel it does.
Okay.
I recently had a couple of experiences where I had dialogues with... I recently had some experiences where I was dialoguing with people I didn't really know. And so I was responding from my conditioning. Mm. And I noticed it really hurt them. Oh. Not that I was saying anything mean. I was speaking politely and, you know, normally. But I wasn't meeting them where they were, because I was not there with them. I was in my karma. And it really took me aback. to realize how that works, and that I had caused that inadvertently, caused that that pain, and I realized anew. I think I kind of have buried it. How much a creature of conditioning, you know. I mean, I peel back a layer or two, and then there's another ocean. So, I really like what you said about time going away. It's such an inhibiting construct. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for sharing that painful but, you know, enlightening awareness of how powerful social conditioning is, and how hard it is to come to an awareness within ourselves of when that's operating. And yet each moment of that awareness is going to, you know, open that, you know, non-selfing view to come out. So thank you. Thank you. Yes, Sage.
Well, I don't know what to say, but that was beautiful, your Dharma talk. I feel like I'm it kind of touched down to my soul. I'm sorry, a little bit nervous on the microphone.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you. Being moved by something is, you know, is a precious gift, really. Yeah.